1 Corinthians 6. Don't you know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit, who lives in you and was given to you by God? You do not belong to yourself, for God bought you with a high price on the cross. So you must, read it with me, honor God with your body. Now, how do you do that? How do you honor God with your body? Well, I'll tell you, by taking care of it.
Pastor Rick Warren often says, you were made by God and for God. And until you understand that, life will never make sense. Welcome to Pastor Rick's Daily Hope. Today, as we come to the last couple of days in our series called God's Vision for the Rest of Your Life, Rick continues in his effort to help you discover the unique purpose and vision that the Lord has for your life. You know, faith comes by hearing the Word of God. And in just a few moments, we're going to tell you about how you can get your very own copy of this faith-building audio series on CD or MP3 download. You can find out more right now by going to PastorRick.com while you listen to the message. That's PastorRick.com or by texting the word daily to 99000. That's the word daily to 99000. Right now, here's Pastor Rick Warren with part one of a message called How to Get Ready to Be Used by God.
There's no greater thrill in life than being used by God. And God wants to use you. If you've never felt the thrill of being used by God, I really feel sad for you. Because no other experience in life compares to knowing that God is using you in that particular moment. Nothing compares. There's no other high that can compare to it. And God wants to use you. But you have to get usable. Now, you say, well, what do I do to get usable by God? Well, that's what we're going to look at today. Specifically, there are five things. If you want God's blessing on your life, and you want God to use you in the lives of other people, you must do five things. Now, first, let's read together the first verse, Romans 6:13. Would you read it with me? Give yourselves completely to God, so you can be tools in the hands of God to be used for His good purposes. God wants to use you for His purposes. And so today we ask, well, what is the next step? What do I do? What is it going to take? Now what? You've offered yourself to be used by God. What does it take? Well, it takes five things. Let's get right into it. First, step one, if I want God to use my life in this world, I must first purify my heart. I must purify my heart. God uses people with a pure heart. Not perfect people, but people with a pure heart. The Bible says this in 2 Timothy 2:21. If you keep yourself pure, you will be a utensil, that means a tool, that God can use for His purpose. Your life will be clean, and you will be ready for the Master to use you for every good work. Now, God uses all kinds of people. He uses young people. He uses old people. He uses very, very smart people, and He uses people who aren't so smart. He uses all kinds of personalities. He uses people who are extroverted, and He uses people who are very, very shy. He uses every kind of race. He uses men, and He uses women. He uses all kinds of backgrounds. And God says, I want to use you. Some of you say, well, God doesn't want to use me. Oh, yeah, He does. He wants to use you. And He'll use all kinds of different backgrounds and personalities. He uses big vessels and little vessels. He uses very plain vessels, and He uses very ornate vessels. God even uses broken vessels. And all of us are a little cracked. Okay? We've all had brokenness in our life. If having brokenness in your life disqualified you from being used, nobody would get used because there are no perfect people. So God uses all kinds of people, but there's one kind of vessel God will not use. He will not use a dirty vessel. We have to clean up our lives inside so that there's nothing, no barrier between us and God.
The rest of today's message is coming your way in just a few moments. But first, if you'd like to connect with Rick on Facebook, Twitter, or LinkedIn, just go to PastorRick.com and click on his social media links. Oh, and while you're at it, go ahead and sign up for his free Daily Hope email devotional and take a look at all the other helpful resources. Again, that's PastorRick.com or just text the word daily to 99000. Again, the word daily to 99000. The second half of today's lesson is coming up.
If you are enjoying this series and today's message, but you've got a long day in the office ahead of you, kids to pick up or meals to cook, then let us send you a copy of this entire series that includes 6 full-length teachings from Pastor Rick. That way, you can listen from start to finish or just a little at a time, whenever it's convenient for you. And you can always go back and listen as often as you want. Today, when you support Pastor Rick's Daily Hope with a financial gift, we'll give you the choice of either a 6 audio CD box set or downloadable high-quality MP3s. Call today, 800-600-5004, or visit PastorRick.com to get your copy of this series. That's 800-600-5004 or PastorRick.com. Thanks so much for your support. When you contact us, remember to ask for the audio series called God's Vision for the Rest of Your Life by Pastor Rick Warren. There's only 48 hours to get this great audio series, so don't wait.
You're listening to Pastor Rick's Daily Hope, winner of the 2016 NRB Billy Graham Award for Excellence in Christian Communications. Once again, here's Pastor Rick Warren.
When Joshua was leading the nation of Israel into the Promised Land, after Moses had brought them out of Egypt, they'd been wandering around in the desert for 40 years. They come up to the Jordan River, and they're getting ready to go into the next phase of their development and growth. They're getting ready to go into the vision that God has for them, the Promised Land. They're going to step across the river, and the next day, their lives are going to change forever. And Joshua says this. Look at the next verse. Joshua told the people, "Purify yourselves." It's something you do to yourself. "For tomorrow, the Lord will do great wonders among you." And I want to say to you, God wants to do great things through you. I have no doubt in my mind about that. But it starts with purifying our heart. Now, how do you do that? Now, what does it mean to confess to God? Well, the word in Greek, confession, in the Bible is the word homologeo in Greek. Homo meaning same, like homogenized milk. It means the same. And logeo means to speak. And homologeo means to speak the same. Confess means to agree with God. And when I confess, I say, "God, you know that thing that I did? It wasn't a faux pas. It wasn't a peccadillo. It wasn't a mistake. It wasn't a personality defect. It was a sin. It was wrong. And I just agree with you." That's what it means to confess to God. To say, "God, that was wrong. You're right, and I was wrong." That's all it means. Now, in confession, you don't bargain with God. "God, if you'll forgive me, I'll never do it again." Man, if it's your every weakness, you'll be back there in a matter of minutes. Okay? You don't bargain with God. You don't say, "God, I'll never do it again." You don't say, "God, if you'll forgive me, I'll read my Bible every day," and you bribe God. No. And you don't try to barter with God. You just admit it. You say, "That's all I got to do, just admit that it was wrong?" Yep. That's called confession. Confession means you were right, that was wrong. Now, here's what I would recommend that you do. I recommend that if you're really serious about being used by God, God's blessing on your life, find an hour this week so you can get alone by yourself, sit down, pull out a yellow pad, and sit there and say this: "God, what is it that's between me and you that makes me feel like you're a million miles away? What is it that's causing me to feel like you're distant? What's the barrier between me and you? God, whatever you bring to my mind, I'm going to write it down." If God says, "Well, you were jealous about that person," I write down jealousy. "Well, you were worried about that. You didn't trust me," so I write down worry. "Well, you still feel guilty about that because you did it." Well, I write that down. "And you still resent that person for what they did," and I write down resentment. And I just wait and I say, "God, tell me what is between me and you. I want to get it all out, and I'm going to confess it. And I just admit it to you." First time I did this, I thought I was going to write a book. as the purpose-driven sinner. And I filled out about 9 pages on a yellow pad. I just go, okay, is there anything else? Oh, yeah, I write that down. Anything else? Oh, I write that down. And I just kept going and going and going. Then when I finished, I said, God, you're right. These are wrong. And I wrote 1 John 1:9 across them. Look at the next verse. The Bible says this. Read it with me. If we confess our sins to God, he will keep his promise and do right. He will forgive us our sins and purify us from all our wrongdoing. God says, you do the confession, I'll do the purifying. You just admit it was wrong. That's it. And then when you admit it was wrong, you write 1 John 1:9 over it. God, you've kept your promise. You've said that if I just admit it was wrong, that you will forgive me. That's called grace, friends. You don't earn it. You don't deserve it. It's just God's grace. Now, I don't know what you've got stacked up in your life, but my guess is you've allowed some things to pile up. What if you only took the trash out in your house once a month? It would start stinking. And that's what happens in our lives. We let things pile up. You need to keep short accounts with God and say, God, if you just do something, you go, God, that was stupid of me. I was really unkind just then. I said a very unkind thing. You admit it in your mind. God, sorry. And you confess it immediately. It's like spiritual breathing. You do it very quickly. You don't let it all pile up. Now, if you want God's blessing in your life, I suggest you start with a little spiritual spring cleaning. And you say, God, here's what I'm doing. Here's the action step. You get by his side, write it all down. Say, Lord, who have I offended? Who's offended me that I want to let go? And I'm holding on to all of these things, and I need to let go of them because I want to purify my heart. When you do that, God says, you've taken the first step to being used. Purify my heart. Now, here's the second thing. Number two, sanctify my body. Now, what does that mean? Sanctify is just a fancy word, theological word, that means to dedicate for God's purposes. You can sanctify anything. You can take your van, say, God, I dedicate this van to be used for your purposes. And you just sanctified that van. You could take anything. You could take a guitar. You could take a house. You could take your own life. And you could say, God, I dedicate this for your purposes. And that's what is called sanctifying it, committing it for God to use for his purposes. And there's one thing that God wants you to commit to him. It is your body, your physical body. Why? Because you can't do anything outside of your body. You might try, but you're not going to. You can only do what your body does as long as you're here on earth. So look at what the Bible says. 1 Corinthians 6. Don't you know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit who lives in you and was given to you by God? You do not belong to yourself, for God bought you with a high price on the cross. So you must, read it with me, honor God with your body. Now, how do you do that? How do you honor God with your body? Well, I'll tell you, by taking care of it. So there's another word for sanctifying your body. You can write this phrase down. Ready? Write it down. Get in shape. Okay, that's what sanctify your body means. Get in shape. Because if you're not in shape, you're not going to have the energy. You're tired all the time. You're fatigued. God can't use you because you're not fully what God wants you to be. Now notice what the Bible says. Psalm 119. You made my body, Lord. Give me the sense to heed your laws. You know, God set up all the principles of health. He said you got to have a certain amount of sleep. You got to eat in a certain way. And you got to exercise. You need all three. Sleep, the right kind of food, and the right kind of exercise in order to stay in shape. 3 John chapter 2, God says, I want you to be healthy. The Bible is full in the Old Testament of health rules and health laws. And Jesus spent 1/3 of his ministry helping people get healthy. So it's a big deal. Now, my guess is that of these three areas, sleep and food and exercise, everybody in this room needs to work on at least one of them. Some of you, you're not getting enough sleep. And you're tired all the time. And you could probably use that extra hour of sleep. Most of America walks around sleep deprived. They do not get enough sleep. And if you're tired all the time, there's no way you're going to have the energy for God to use you the way that he could, because you're always tired. Some of you, the most spiritual thing you could do would be go to bed early. Just some of you, the most spiritual thing you do is get some sleep. Now, wait till this sermon's over. But you really do. You might need to go home and take a nap this afternoon. That'd be a real good thing for you to do. Notice this verse up here on the screen. The Bible says this out of Psalms. It is senseless for you to work so hard from early morning until late at night. For God wants his loved ones, read it with me, to get their proper rest. God says you need a certain amount of sleep. And if you don't get it, you're not going to be effective for God. You need to work on that. Now, some of you, it's not the sleep issue, but you fight this food battle like I do. I mean, why did God make food taste so good? I mean, he could have made it all taste like, you know, oatmeal or something, and then it would have been just fine. Notice this verse up here on the screen. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians, food is for the stomach, and the stomach is for food. But God will put an end to both. In other words, they're both temporary. It's not what you live for. The body is not to be used for sexual immorality, but to serve the Lord. Now, leave that verse up there. And I want you to notice a couple things. First, he says, don't let your life revolve around food because it's temporary. The point he's saying here is you eat to live. You don't live to eat. Does that make sense? Okay. You eat to live. You don't live to eat. It's not the goal and God of your life. And then it's interesting to me that he compares overeating to sexual immorality. Hello? Now, I wouldn't put those in the same category. But God says they're both sins against the body. And you never think about cheating on your husband or your wife, but my guess is you've done the other one and not taken care of the kind of food that you eat and the kind of food that you put into your body. So, you know, to be sanctifying your body means I get the right amount of rest and I get the right kind of food. And then, of course, everybody needs this third one, exercise. We all need this one. Now, I want to personally recommend to you sleepwalking. Okay. I like this because it's multitasking. Okay? You get your rest and your exercise at the same time. And so I highly recommend sleepwalking. Now, you know, there are several attitudes you can have toward your body, and a bunch of them are the wrong. First, you can reject your body. God, give me a new one. Well, the bodybuilders do who think that the goal of life is just to have big ripples and muscles and, you know, a six-pack. And they, you know, the whole goal is just to worship your body. And you go up to bodybuilders, you say, now, why do you work out all this time? Yeah, but why do you do it? Yeah, I know, but why do you do it? It's like the whole thing is just to pose, you know, just to show off your ripples. No, no, that's the wrong way too. You don't neglect your body. You don't reject your body. You don't perfect your body. What God wants you to do is respect it and protect it. Respect it and protect it. Look at the next verse. Here's our motivation. Athletes practice discipline and self-control. They do it to win a prize that will fade away. But we do it for an eternal prize. He says, you know, some people, they get in shape just so they can go win a race or win a prize. He said, that's okay, but you know what? That's a temporary award. He said, there's a much longer lasting motivation, and that is you want to make the most of what God has given you, your body. And if you make the most of what God has given you, your body, then in heaven you're going to be rewarded for eternity because you are using what he gave you as a tool. Now, why should I protect my body? Because God made it, because Jesus died for it, and because the Holy Spirit lives in it. So God says, this is important. So here's the action step on this point. Maybe you just need to go get in shape. And if you're having a hard time doing that, I would suggest in a minute you take out the little card when we give our offerings, you write down, get in shape. Drop it in there. Everybody needs a partner or accountability. We can set up some small groups or some accountability or even some, you know, programs together to help each other out get in shape for spring and summer. The first thing is, he says, work on your heart. Purify your heart. The second thing, he says, sanctify your body. Get it in shape. Now, here's the third thing he says. Simplify your life. This has to do with your schedule. Because a lot of people are too busy to be used by God. You need to simplify your life. Now, the Bible compares life to a marathon race. And in Hebrews chapter 12, notice it says this. We should remove anything from our lives that would get in the way and hold us back. I know this one from personal experience, folks. If the devil can't make you bad, he'll make you busy. Okay? And he'll get you so busy that you don't have time for the things that are most important. It's not an issue of between, am I going to do really bad or really good? No, it's a matter of, am I going to do something that's good and do something that is what God wants me to do that's best for my life at this point right now? You see, busy with good things can keep you from the best. And so Paul says this, we should remove anything from our lives that would get in the way and hold us back. He says, simplify, get rid of unnecessary baggage. Don't try to do it all, because you can't do it all in life. And if you're trying to do it all, you're trying to do some stuff that God never intended for you to do in the first place. Just do what matters most. He says, you know, serious runners focus on the goal.
You're listening to Pastor Rick's Daily Hope. If you've missed any part of this broadcast, including portions we didn't have time for today, you can go to PastorRick.com and listen online anytime. Pastor Rick will be back in just a moment with a final word of encouragement, so please stay with us. If you're enjoying this series and today's message, but you've got a long day in the office ahead of you, or maybe kids to pick up, meals to cook, well then let us send you a copy of this entire series. That way you can listen from start to finish, or just a little at a time, whenever it's convenient for you. And you can always go back and listen as often as you want. Today, when you support Pastor Rick's Daily Hope with a financial gift, we'll give you the choice of either a 6-audio CD box set or high-quality downloadable MP3s. Call today, 800-600-5004, or visit PastorRick.com to get your copy of this series. That's 800-600-5004 or PastorRick.com. Thanks so much for your support. When you contact us, remember to ask for the audio series called God's Vision for the Rest of Your Life by Pastor Rick Warren. There's only 48 hours left to get this great audio series, so don't wait. And now here's Rick with a closing thought.
Now in today's broadcast, we've talked about the importance of having a personal relationship with Jesus. Have you ever settled that issue in your life? If you haven't, I don't want to end without giving you this opportunity right now. I don't care where you are, in a car, at home, at school, listening with through earplugs or whatever. This is your moment. If you've never accepted Jesus Christ into your life, you've never begun a personal relationship with Him, this is your moment to do so right now. I'm going to pray a prayer. And you know, it really doesn't matter what words I pray. What really matters is what you say in your own heart, the attitude of your heart that humbly says to God, yes, God, I need you. I need your son, Jesus. But if you don't know what to pray and you've never stepped across the line spiritually, I'm going to ask you to follow me in this prayer. And as I say it, in your mind, you just say, me too, Jesus, me too. Dear God, I don't understand it all, but I thank you that you love me unconditionally and freely. You made me, you loved me, and you sent Jesus to die for me. I thank you that you're for me, not against me. I thank you that you sent Jesus to save me, not to condemn me. I admit that I can't get to heaven on my own. I'm not good enough. I need Jesus as my Savior. And today, Jesus Christ, as much as I know how, I ask you into my life. I ask you to fill me with your love. I want to have a relationship with you. I want to learn to love you and to learn to trust you. And I ask you to save me from my past. Save me from my regrets. Save me from my mistakes. Save me from my sins. Save me from my habits and my hurts and my hang-ups. And save me from myself. And I ask you to save me for your purpose, that I might live the life that you created me to live, and then one day be in your family forever in heaven. I pray this in faith and in humility, in your name, Jesus. Amen. If you just prayed that prayer, congratulations. Do you know the Bible says they're having a party in heaven for you right now? The Bible says every time one person steps across the line, the angels rejoice. So they're having a party for you right now. God bless you.
Join me next time as we continue to look into God's Word for our daily hope.
This program is sponsored by Daily Hope Ministries and your generous financial support.